What is up? Happy Wednesday. It is Brooke. Welcome back to Gals on the Go. I hope you guys are all having an awesome week so far. I always forget that this goes up on Wednesday and it's like hump day, like you're halfway through. Depending on, I typically listen to my podcast in the morning. So if it's the morning on Wednesday, then I guess you're not halfway through yet because you have to like get through it to the end of the day and then like you made it. But or I guess halfway through the day, whatever. Welcome back to Gals on the Go. I hope that you guys are all doing super well. Today's episode, I'm speaking with Rachel Krupa. She is awesome, you guys. She owns a bunch of different businesses, and we're going to talk about like some of the secrets of landing a job in PR, owning a business, managing employees, a bunch of other subjects that I feel like you guys are really going to enjoy. But first, let's hop into our Black-owned business of the week. So founder Ruby says, for years, I've been on the search for the perfect planner for my life. I wanted a place to be encouraged, empowered, and inspired, and be able to keep my life and mind organized. I simply couldn't find a planner that would keep me on track as a college biomedicine student, athlete, YouTuber, and serial entrepreneur, while also looking amazing and matching all of my aesthetics. I even went to that extra extent of creating my own bullet journal style planner that I love so dearly, but struggled to keep up with it because it was so time consuming. The idea of the lavish life planner was birthed in March of 2018 during my spring break. I began working on it in mid-April, as many students may know, the end of the semester and more importantly, finals preparation time. I wasn't able to keep up with my bullet journaled paper and knew I had to make a change. So if you guys want to check them out, they are so cute. They're basically like these, like Ruby described, super aesthetic planners. They're perfect for students. I definitely want to look into getting one. I'm trying to like transition a little bit to digital, but I feel like if you guys are a pen and paper gal, this is for you. They also have really aesthetic pens and other sort of like planning materials. I think they even do have some digital stuff, so I will have to check that out. But you can check them out at lavish, L-A-V-I-S-H lifebrand.org, and the Instagram is lavish life brand. And Ruby is so cool, you guys. She has a YouTube channel, and she's on Instagram and all that stuff. She's a influencer, but she's like also doing such amazing stuff in the entrepreneurial space, so definitely go check her out. And we will kick it off with the highlights and lowlights. First, we'll start off with the low light. I don't know how to say this, but basically I go through like really my emotional like roller coaster is truly a roller coaster. I feel like I have such high highs and such low lows, and it in the end it evens out. Like I feel like it, you know, we're at like a net neutral slash like I'm definitely on like the higher end. I feel like I'm doing pretty good right now. But you guys might not, you probably know, I live alone. I live in New York City, and I just have been feeling a little lonely and isolated. And I think it's obviously mostly due to the pandemic. I just feel really limited with what I can do and who I can see by my own choice. But I feel a little stuck physically, if that makes sense. And of course I'm able to, like I said in the past few weeks, you know, I love going out for walks or even like going out to dinner or grabbing a drink with a friend, whatever it is. But I just feel like I'm starting to get really sad. You know what I mean? I think living alone definitely adds on top of that. And I knew that this would be a factor. I've lived alone now. This is like my second year living alone. So I knew, and I've definitely like felt the loneliness feeling before, but it wasn't due to the fact that like, I felt like I couldn't see people. You know what I mean? And of course I could call someone up, FaceTime, but you guys know, I'm sure you get it. Like in person is so, so different. I have to like just know it in myself when I have to see someone for my own mental health, or like when I have to, you know, make a change or do something. Also, like I go home for the weekend sometimes back to Long Island where I like went to high school and like I'm originally from and stuff, which is so nice. It's just an hour train away. But when I'm home, I think this is like the contrast of it too. So like I was home a little while ago and I was just so stimulated. I felt like I'm always, you know, doing stuff with my parents and I'm offline and I'm able to really just like do me, whether that's like my mom and I filming a video for YouTube. I think it's up now. We filmed a really fun video together. So go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/BrookeMaggio, to check that out. But anyways, I feel like I'm like talking to them and I'm not on my phone as much and whatever. I mean, we're just chilling at home usually, but it's just nice to kind of break it up. But then I feel like on the flip side, then I come back here and I'm alone and just being alone all the time can feel super lonely. So I just want to say to everybody else that's feeling that way through the pandemic, I feel ya. And I know that I don't even have it nearly as bad as some people. I completely feel for you guys that are like truly, you know, locked up, or you did the whole quarantine thing, like when it was really serious, like completely alone, because it's tough. And we as humans, we need connection. Like we need interaction. And I'll get into that a little bit in my highlight, you know, why it's so important, but it is. So I think you got to break out of it, you know, and it's normal to feel feelings too. I recently got a comment on a YouTube video, like Brooke looks sad in this video or something. And I just want to say, like, it's normal to have normal feelings. You know, I'm not happy all the time. Who is, you know what I mean? I definitely have days and times that I'm really sad, and you know, I'm still vlogging and I have to hide it, and maybe I don't feel like, you know, opening up that day, but I just have to push through because that's what I choose to do. And not even that I'm trying to like put on a front or whatever, but sometimes opening up can be really heavy and difficult. So I try to, you know, only do it when I really feel so called to do it. But this is just me being transparent with you guys that it is, sometimes living alone is lonely, and especially during the pandemic, it can be tough. So, yeah, but overall, once again, still so thankful. I mean, at least if I'm going to be lonely, I'm in this beautiful apartment and I do have access to go outside. I have a roof deck, that I'm able to go to, and no one is ever up there. You guys, I go up, I was up there like reading my book the other day for like hours and not a single person came up there. I was so shocked. So I feel like I'm really taking advantage of that, and still being in the city, of course, so like going for walks and, like I said, socially distancing, whatever it may be. So now we'll talk about the highlight. And my highlight, on the flip side, is just meeting new awesome people. I really feel like I've fallen, you guys, into the TikTok community. You guys know last week we had Audrey on, a TikToker, but I think I'm on just like NYC TikTok. So like all of the people on my For You page are from the city. Not all of them, of course, it's like a generalization, but I get a lot of like city content. So I got lunch this week with two awesome people. Carly Weinstein and Haley Hoffman Smith are two TikTokers here in the city. Carly does like content kind of similar to mine. She does like little NYC vlogs, and she does videos with her sister and her mom. And then Haley does really, really cool videos. Not that Carly's aren't really cool too. They are. Haley does like manifestation, visualization. She's really like just such a knowledgeable person about those subjects. We kind of talked about those at lunch and it really inspired me. It's always nice meeting people that you can learn something from, and you know, like actual intellectual conversation. It's really nice. And they're just such sweet people. And yeah, like I said, I'm alone so much of the time that sometimes I can get sad. So it's crucial for me to be doing things, even if it is like these small lunches or a walk. Like it's really something that I look forward to and just like need to keep doing, if that makes sense. And also like I'm so thankful to meet girls like Carly and Haley, because I feel like they're people I would organically be friends with, and it's just a good thing that it's awesome that we met via social media, but I genuinely do feel like we would have been friends. Like they're people that I could have connected with regardless. So, yeah, meeting new awesome people. I think it is a huge highlight. And obviously being in a new city, I have a whole new like world of people, I guess, that are here. And it really is so different than Boston. I feel like I was in my own like little Boston bubble there, but here it is just such a big city, you guys. And there's so many people and so many, even just in my industry, like content creators, influencers, whatever, there's just so, so many. I feel like I am entering like this whole new realm of it all, but I love it so, so much. So feeling thankful overall. Now for a current fave.
These are a few of my favorite things. Don't mess up all of my favorite things.
All right, I have to say it's so basic, but it is just straightening my hair and wearing my hair straight. I just stopped doing this for a while, and I was using my Bondi Boost waver. But then I just picked up my straightener again one day, and I love it, you guys. I honestly am a person that I feel so much more together. I could go days without wearing makeup as long as my hair is kind of neat or like styled to some regard, or at least I tried to style it. I'm trying to do the curly girl method. It's not really working. Obviously, you're not supposed to use heat, so that's on the back burner. That's a project for another day. But it just, it feels so good to have my hair just straight and polished. And even like right now, I'm just wearing it in a straight ponytail and it feels so clean. And I really like the look of it, like pulled back away from my face. And it just is simple to do. I know that this is so random and not a hot take at all, but it's just one thing that I've been doing in terms of getting ready. And it's nice because you could do it and like not wash your hair for a few days and like kind of touch it up, just a little dry shampoo action. And it's nice. That's definitely something that I enjoy doing, just styling my hair in general. I guess I go through phases where I wear it like completely natural and then I'll like style it once and be like, dang, I need to start doing this more. And I'm not great at it by any means, but yeah, just a good old fashioned straightener. I don't even know what brand mine is. I wouldn't even necessarily recommend it, but what I would recommend is a straightener with thicker plates. So they make like multiple different kinds. I remember I used to have a Qi, and that one wasn't my favorite because the plates on it, at least of the style that I had, were very thin. The brand itself is great, but they were like only, it was almost like an inch or two thick. And now mine has to be a couple, it has to be like 3 inches. That's pretty big. Actually, it's in my bathroom. I'm really not going to go get it. I'm all set up here in the podcast space in my bedroom with the door shut. But I have been really enjoying just doing my hair. Yeah. So, so weird. I'm running out of favorites, you guys. All right. So a lot of you guys said you wanted to hear a solo episode in the midst of these guest episodes I'm doing. I get a lot of DMs from you guys. So slide into my DMs at Brooke Michio. Also, I'm so close to 100K. If you could whip out your phone and follow me, that would make my day. Do you guys hear my stomach growling? I need to figure out what I'm doing for dinner after this. Express is all new and all about you with a fresh assortment of casual, versatile, and super comfortable styles. Express is a brand that encourages people to dream big and dress accordingly by providing a curated edit of high quality pieces for day, night, and everything in between. You guys know that feeling when you have an adorable outfit on, you are feeling yourself, you're feeling super confident, and it just impacts everything you do in a more positive way. And that's how I feel when I'm dressed in my Express, whether you guys are doing, you know, your Zoom meetings from home, or you're going out to dinner with the gals. I feel like Express has these pieces that are super versatile and so easy to dress up or down. You know, they have blazers, they have tank tops, they have the best layering pieces, especially as we're heading into fall. And Express has expanded beyond just what you may know with the occasion ready dresses and suits to include these more casual looks, offering the perfect mix of casual, comfy styles and trending pieces. Express's styles are classic and wearable for all different styles, body types, and lifestyles. Express just has some of my go-to pieces, a flattering pair of pants, like I said, a good blazer, these nice layering tank tops. They're also super comfy and wearable, which we know is really important. And I feel like they're always super on top of the trends. So you can check out their website and you know that like the stuff that you're buying is curated and it is in. Express also has an ongoing fundraising initiative powered by GoFundMe. It was created to help support charities and organizations that share Express's mission of empowering people to go for their dreams. So to start, Express is actually supporting GoFundMe's Small Business Relief Fund to help those impacted by COVID-19. This is the Dream Big project. I love what they're doing with it. Be sure to follow at Express on Instagram for more style inspo and tips. And you gotta get a discount code in here. So here we have it. You guys can whip out your phone and text GALS to 397-737 to receive $25 off your purchase. Once again, text GALS to 397-737 to get $25 off your Express purchase. So a lot of you guys said that you wanted to hear solo in the midst of these like guest episodes. And I just lined up so many awesome guests that there's no room for a solo in here, but I wanted to kind of talk to you guys about something related to the episode and have a little solo segment, a long intro, if you will. So I figured I'd give you guys some tea here related to a topic that we're going to talk about in the episode, and that is career mistakes. I've seen Monica Church and Michelle Reed do this now. So you talk about like some mistakes you've made in your career, and I think by sharing them, we're just creating more of like an open dialogue about it, and it definitely teaches you things too. Like you might, you know, sympathize here and be like, yes, I've made those mistakes, or maybe these could be lessons so that you could avoid them in the future. And yeah, I mean, we talk about in this episode with Rachel, we're going to dive into like her career and stuff like that. So I figured this would make sense. For me, obviously my career is a little different, a little all over the place, but I guess a background, I have had a few various internships. I did my like long summer term and summer long internship between my junior and senior year of college. And then I got a full-time job after college. I'm trying to think where else I've worked. I worked in an ice cream shop all through high school. I had another little internship in college there. But yeah, my main like jobs, I feel like, were my summer internship. And then I worked in sales post-grad. In this case, a lot of these career mistakes I'm going to be talking about have to do more with my career online. So social media work. I say try to apply them to however you can, but this is just based on my experiences. Okay, so we'll get it started with number one, which is selling out too early. For me, you guys know I've done social media since I was in high school, and admittedly, when I first started out, I wouldn't say that this is like right away, but of course, you know, you get excited by things. So when I was in later high school, I remember opportunities would come my way and I would just grasp at the bit for them. I didn't care, you know, really much about negotiating and or, you know, deciding if the brand really was a natural fit. But it just was way too early in kind of building my career. And I'm learning now that your brand has so much more, like you as a person or your company or whatever it is, you are so much more valuable as an entity than just grasping at the bit for working with a brand that doesn't make sense or doesn't align with you. And that's not to say, like, I know then people are going to say, oh, so you mean to tell me that every brand you work with aligns with you 100%? Of course not. I mean, I'm not perfect by any means. But I think that doing this too early could be a really big problem. I think about people who, you know, are just getting started on YouTube and looking to make a quick buck or whatever. And I just think that it really shows through. So in my case, I would say selling out too early or just looking to make money too fast. I think, you know, you have to work on building for a while. And I definitely did focus on, you know, building my channel from, I think, freshman year of high school through like junior year, and then senior year, I started getting a little happy with, you know, working with companies or even just like taking free product from companies that like I probably shouldn't have. I would just like get emails, people would be like, I want to send you stuff. And I would just say yes, even if it like I didn't even really need it or like it or whatever, but just to be like, this is so exciting and like not really fully looking into things, I guess. So that's mistake number one for me. Number two is similar, taking sponsorships I shouldn't have, didn't do enough research or just like let the money kind of blind me. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to be totally transparent with you guys. You know, when you have offers in front of you for thousands and thousands of dollars, like sometimes things, become a little tricky in your brain. And I never want to like compromise my morals or values or things like that. But sometimes the line is a little blurry, I will say. And I'm working on this definitely as we go down the line. And like I said, I haven't been perfect, you know, with every company, like to making sure that they strongly align with me. Like that's definitely like my goal moving forward. And I do a lot more research now in terms of like, you know, instead of just when I get an email, like with an offer, I don't just say yes because of the dollar amount, which I never really did, but you know what I mean? I really try to do more research or see, you know, how organically I could fit this into my content or, you know, how my audience would use this product or this service. So just taking sponsorships I shouldn't have, I will say. And I think a lot of influencers would agree with me on this one. And I'm not looking, trust me, I'm not looking for you guys to be like, I get it, like sympathy, like absolutely not. That's just my rationale of being like, maybe I'm not that bad of a person. But it is something that I think also people will call you out on now. Like I feel like people used to not really care so much. Like it was like, all right, like let them get their coin. But now people will call you out, you know, if you don't use the product or whatever. I saw my desk. I saw on TikTok Noah Beck did, this was like, it was going on my For You page at least, he did a ad. He's like this guy TikToker, he's like what, like 20, and he's really new to it, and he did a sponsored post for this like ab product, and it's supposed to like quote like give you defined abs and you wear it like when you work out and stuff like that. And he did a sponsored post for it. And then he replied to someone in the comments and said, LOL, I don't actually use this product. It's an ad. And everyone was like, bro, like, do you not even understand the point of like doing an ad? Like the whole point is that you're promoting something that you quote organically use or like would recommend, or you know what I mean? So I think a lot of younger influencers get, you know, kind of blinded by money or bad judgment. Honestly, I think bad managers or bad is like a big word. Maybe money hungry people in the industry would lead you to do something, but it doesn't mean that it's good for you in the long term. So yeah, taking sponsorships I shouldn't have is one for me. Next is taking the first offer / not negotiating. Yeah, it comes with really everything, but I will focus it on getting paid on like the YouTube side or brand deals or just advertisements in general. I think in the beginning, I was really bad about this, especially when I didn't have help from a manager or an agent or an outside source, which there's nothing wrong with, you know, doing it by yourself and negotiating on your own behalf. It's definitely easier when you have help from someone else. But just because I think it adds that level of like, here's my representation, and people kind of take you more seriously, which is really unfortunate. But anyways, taking the first offer, not negotiating, I think that it's just really easy to, like I said, see a dollar amount and say yes. But what you can do is you can go back and negotiate, whether that be like the deliverables. That's kind of something I'm dealing with right now with the brand, is they're asking for certain types of videos, like dedicated videos versus a non-dedicated video on YouTube. So a dedicated video means you feature their product, you know, throughout the whole video, versus non-dedicated is kind of just like a shout out, like a 1 to 2 minute talk about it and move on, versus the dedicated, like I said, covers the whole video. So whether it's, you know, over the type of content that they want you to do, or the payment, like I always say, you know, my mom says sometimes like everything's negotiable, and obviously not everything is. Like you go to the grocery store, that's not negotiable, but it definitely is something, especially in a business sense, people's rates for certain things, they are negotiable. So don't take the first offer, you know, at least try to go back to the drawing board a little bit, and work on it a little bit, if that makes sense. All right, next up is burning bridges, or just not networking enough and keeping up with people. I'm going to throw that all in one category. Yeah, I think that when you're young, you think, you know, you're invincible, and you think that if you don't get along with someone or you have a bad experience with working with a company or something like that, that you can, you know, light them on fire and just say, screw all these people, I don't like them. But then what happens when those people go on and work for another company? They're going to remember you forever, and they are going to know you as the girl who, you know, did XYZ thing, or, you know, maybe you didn't maintain a good relationship with them, or maybe it wasn't even a bad relationship, but you just didn't put in the time and effort to keep up with them and network and say, you know, how are you doing? I see you got a new role. And kind of checking in. And this is still a mistake that I make. I have my certain people that I'll network with, or, you know, if I see things on LinkedIn, I try to congratulate people. You know, there's obviously like a lot of career shifts that happen in just in life. So I think kind of trying to stay on top of those, just honestly for purely just being happy for people, but also being aware. And I think this is applicable kind of in any industry. I think it's so easy to, if you have a bad, what do we want to call it? You get a bad taste in your mouth from someone or whatever it is, you're like, oh, screw them, I'm done, and like burn the bridge. And it's definitely not great, because that will, like, it's sometimes it's irreparable and it's really challenging and stuff. Like I said, something I'm most definitely still working on, especially the networking element of all of this. Next up is not reading contracts all the way through. I can't even believe I'm putting this in here. This was something I used to deal with a lot when I was younger. And like I said, I didn't have management. I would graze through these contracts, because who knows how to read a contract? Let's be real. Like, unless you were studying law or just very proficient with legalese, I think that's it, right? That's like legal jargon. It's tough, and there's a lot of clauses in there and things to keep up with. And honestly, I was just too lazy in the beginning. I remember when I was a senior in high school, I would just like sign my life away on these contracts, especially to like my YouTube networks. I remember I was a part of the network back in the day, Style Hall, and the contract was like so absurd, you guys. It was like so binding and like all of this stuff. And I just signed my life away. Who knows what I signed, like looking back on it. But that's a problem because you could really get screwed over in the end. And I will tell you a quick story. About something that even happened recently. Love you, Zach. Zach is my manager, but he is not a lawyer and he's not required to be a lawyer. You know, he even made it clear from the start, like, I can look over your contracts and help you, but I'm not a lawyer. So while he helps me with all that stuff, now I have an agent who kind of even more so helps me with the contract stuff. But a lot of people hire a lawyer to look through, especially if it's a bigger contract. It's really important to get a lawyer involved, or just outside representation in general, because sometimes they can have a better lens on things. So recently, I can't even, this just happened this year, and it just shows, you know, things should have been looked at a little more clearly. I'm in a 1-year contract, or I don't even know if it's a year, if it's just until I post everything, but I considered it, you know, I'm posting throughout the year. I started in January and I've been posting since for a birth control brand, the birth control that I use. And when you sign a contract with someone in like the YouTube world, you are exclusive with them. So, for the most time, so let's say it's like a candle company. What they might do is exclude you from posting about other candle companies. Let's just say like 30 days before and 30 days after. And that's just to ensure that, you know, their product is highlighted and it's not just like I'm showing a candle today and tomorrow. And then it's like the audience is confused. They don't know which one to buy. It doesn't show that you're very credible. So it makes sense from the brand's end, of course, to, you know, put those clauses in. And some are a lot looser. I know like some of the beauty ones that I've seen, it's only like a 5-day thing. It's like 5 days before and 5 days after, because beauty is such a wide category that like if I'm promoting a lip gloss on a Monday, I could, you know, be doing an eyeshadow on a Friday. Not that I would, but that kind of makes sense. That's not 5 days, but you guys know what I'm saying. I can't count. Versus let's just say birth control, of course, like I'm not pivoting, you know, what birth control I promote every day. Like I feel like that's something that's pretty consistent. I know people have like, you know, troubles with some and then they have to switch or whatever it is. But for me, like that's a long-term thing. So I don't even know what the exclusivity looks like, but all I know is that it's through this year and probably even into next year. Which is fine because it's what I use and what I love promoting. Anyways, but what we didn't know is when we signed up to work with this other brand that is like, it was like a vaginal health product and it wasn't birth control, but it was like female, it was like a vitamin basically for females. And it was like this really big brand that you guys have probably seen at like the drugstore or pharmacy before. And I was super excited to work with them. And it was on Instagram. So I posted the picture of the product and within 10 minutes, we got a phone call. Take it down. The birth control company saw it. And it's a conflict. Like it was competing. It was like included in my exclusivity agreement. And that was just something that we overlooked. We thought that it was two different things. You know, we didn't realize that the birth control kind of encompassed like female health, wellness, like, you know, everything to do with vaginal health, included in that too. And that was just a lapse of judgment by reading the contract. You know, I'm partially to blame, management's partially to blame, whatever. It's not, it really wasn't the end of the world and it was really able to be handled in a simple manner. But that was like a real example of what happened to me 3 months ago based on me being an idiot and not reading the contract all the way through. Or just identifying that as a red flag, I guess. So it's definitely important to do that. And if you can't do it, you try to make a friend who can, or I know lawyers, attorneys, stuff like that can be really, really costly. So, I mean, I still don't even have one, honestly, but I just have more people that can help me read them and make sure that I'm not signing myself up for something crazy, like I said. And then my last career mistake, not that this is a limiting list, it never could truly end, but these are just some that I thought of, is thinking that I know everything and not listening to people who have more knowledge than me. And this is a huge one. I'm like CEO of, for some reason, just thinking that I know everything, that my opinion is the correct opinion and everybody else's is wrong. And I think this like is just a sense of entitlement I got when I was younger. I'll pat myself on the back. I was always like pretty smart and I just felt like what I was doing was right. And that I had that sense of entitlement. Like, that I knew everything. And I remember even at work, when I worked my full-time job, thinking like, oh, this company should run their business XYZ way. I don't know how to run a $1 billion company. Like, what am I saying? Like, how about I would just like sit back and enjoy the experience, or like just live the experience of being an employee? And I think it's just because I have that like bossy, like boss mentality. And I don't even mean that to be like, oh, girl boss, but more so like, I've always been an independent person, and kind of doing YouTube from a young age, like working for myself from a young age, I just got that sense of that I know everything. And let me tell you guys, there are people who have way more knowledge than you, knowledge in all of these different subjects. I know people who are entrepreneurs that know way more about running a business than I do. I know people, like I said, on the legal end who know more, way more than I do. I know people on the financial end who know more than I do. Like, I find that this is something where it's like, let the experts in their fields be experts. You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't know anything about fishing. I'm not going to go teach a seminar on how to fish. Absolutely not. But I'll pay to watch someone else's so that I can learn about it. And that's what makes people kind of credible, I guess, when they are knowledgeable in their field. You know what I mean? I'll answer your questions about social media or about podcasting or starting a YouTube channel, sure, but I'm not going to, you know, claim to be an expert in all of these subjects that I'm certainly not, especially when it comes to a business end, because I think it's easy. I think a lot of young people feel this way too. We feel like we know so much more. Maybe it's because everything's at our fingertips and it's like, oh, well, I could just like Google it and figure it out. And a lot of people don't like asking for help. I know I felt that way at work a lot. Like I'd be like, oh, shoot, like this is kind of challenging, but I don't want to have to ask for help. I'll just have to figure it out myself. And it's fine to ask for help. It's fine to like seek people who have more knowledge than you. And it's actually should be you, like you should respect that people have more knowledge than you in other subjects. And I'm sure that you have more knowledge than them in your own. So that's something that I really, really learned, and I'm working hard to let other people shine those areas of their knowledge on me so that I can learn more, and then we all end up benefiting. So those are some of my career mistakes. I would love to hear like what some of yours are, if you guys feel like you've made any crazy career mistakes. And if you want to hear more about work related topics, I know I've been having a few guests on lately that are more career heavy, career focused, if we will. So let me know if you want to hear more about that, or if you guys like more of like the wellness stuff, or just overall lifestyle-y. I don't know. I mean, I think it's cool that we can have a bunch of different guests on the show and learn a little bit about them and their businesses. And I feel like I've gotten to speak with such awesome women lately, and I just feel really inspired by that. So I feel really good about it. I'm excited for you guys to listen today. And without further ado, enjoy this conversation with me and Rachel. If you think you may be depressed, or you're feeling anxious, stressed, or overwhelmed, BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who are trained to listen and to help. You can talk with your counselor in a private online environment at your own convenience from wherever you're comfortable. BetterHelp counselors have an expertise in a broad range of areas such as anxiety, loss, trauma, difficulty sleeping, and BetterHelp can give you access to help that might not be available in your area. Simply fill out a questionnaire to help assess your specific needs and get matched with your counselor in under 48 hours. Easily schedule secure video or phone sessions with your therapist, plus exchange unlimited messages, and everything you share is confidential. If at any reason you're unhappy with your counselor, you can request a new one at any time at no additional charge. Join the million plus people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced BetterHelp counselor. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're currently recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. BetterHelp is an affordable option, and our listeners get 10% off your first month with the discount code GALS. Get started today at betterhelp.com/GALS. That's better, HELP.com/GALS. Talk to a therapist online and get help. Hi, guys. I'm so excited. I'm sitting here now with Rachel. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. I'm so excited to welcome you to Gals on the Go. So welcome.
I'm so excited to talk to you. It's so nice to just like talk to someone.
Yeah, I know, right? I really look forward to like my daily FaceTimes or calls or whatever it is. I like drag them out. They're like 3 hours long, but we have a great conversation planned for today. So if you could just start by telling our listeners, like, what do you say, like, when say someone says, you know, tell us a little bit about you, maybe a little bit about like where you grew up, your background, stuff like that.
100%. So I am from a small town in Michigan called Pinconning, and it's a population of 1,200. And I went to Central Michigan University. And from there, just wanted to do something bigger and better and moved to New York right after, not even after college. I left on my end of fourth year, had to finish my fifth year while living in New York and working.
Oh my gosh.
And then took online classes, took distant classes. It was crazy if I'm thinking back on it now. And then I do PR. So I've been doing PR. So food and wellness, and some entertainment PR for basically the past 18 years. And then 2 years ago opened up a Better For You convenience store, called The Goods Mart. And my PR agency is Krupa Consulting.
Amazing. We'll get into all of your various business ventures and everything. But I guess a little bit about more like on the school end of it, since we have a lot of listeners. I explained to you, you know, a lot of our listeners are college age or recent post grads, I guess, if you will. So kind of in that space of like, what do I do with my life? Which I totally understand. It is a big panic. So you kind of said like how you got into PR, but when you came here and you were like looking for work and everything, what was the landscape of that like? You know, did you really just go out there and get after it, or how did you find, I guess, a job right away?
Well, it's, I think the journey to get to the job is the fun one. where throughout my life, I've always interned. So I was the professional intern where I think my parents always thought that I would not have a real job, but an internship instead. and then with that, I had an internship with a congressman in DC because I was studying poli-sci. And then I had an internship in Michigan at the Democratic Constituent Relations Office. And then I randomly faxed my resume into Major League Baseball, the commissioner's office. And
facts. I love that.
Facts. It was old school. This is old school, probably before most of everyone was alive. But it was, I faxed it in and they called and they're like, hey, we want to interview you. Will you come to New York? And I remember just getting on a plane being like, Mom, I want to do this. And so she's like, okay. So we came and we had an interview, got the job. And that's what actually brought me to New York, was an internship at Major League Baseball.
Wow. Are you a fan of baseball? Like, what led you to apply to that specifically?
Yeah. It was also the journey of what I love so much about internships is like, you know, if you like it, so you don't have to like then commit that to the rest of your life. So
completely.
I thought I wanted to do public affairs and be in politics. But then through the two internships I had, it didn't feel right for me. Like, I love like the policy work and like changing things for constituents in the community, but the backside of it was something that I wasn't passionate about. Mm-hmm. I also love sports and I love baseball. And I was like, maybe I want to do more of like public affairs for Major League Baseball. And then that's when I got into baseball and I tried that and I didn't like that either. And so it was this journey of trying things to figure out what you actually love before you commit to anything.
I'm such a proponent of that, doing all the internships or, you know, even testing the waters, because I would definitely believe you need to be happy in this life. You only get like this one shot. So definitely a big believer in that. And I really like what you said there. So then you got into PR. So all this while you're doing PR just on for different industries, kind of. Is that what you're referring to? So it's like politics, baseball.
Yeah. So I worked for in like DC, it was within just a congressman. So you did like press clippings and just like kind of learning like the basic level. And Major League Baseball, randomly, it wasn't with PR. I asked to do IT because it was before really like email and like computers really like blew up. And I thought that I needed to understand more about like the backside of like computer and technology. And so I did an internship that. It was probably not the most productive internship, but one of the most impactful because of the people that I met.
That's great.
Yeah. And so during all of that, I would also be waitressing and cocktail waitressing Brother Jimmy's, you know, in New York, which was a wild time. But that also was experience because I met more people there. Then I also cocktail waitress at the Hudson Hotel. And that's actually where I met someone that, long story short, was like hitting on me. And they're like, hey, if I get you a job somewhere, will you go on a date with me? And I'm like, oh,
Oh my God.
Give me a card. They're like, what do you do? And I'm like, I do PR. And they're like, what kind of PR? And I'm just like, more lifestyle, you know, just kind of talking things out. And this guy then got me an internship at Lizzie Grubman. That's where then I started my PR career more within the lifestyle, like celebrity driven nightlife and restaurant side.
Amazing. So when you were doing your internships, I'm assuming they were like unpaid. So that's why you were working on the side to kind of sustain
that? They were paid like stipends, like $500 a month.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's really unrealistic. I find a lot of like the internship programs that aren't paid or just paid so little, especially in major cities like a New York or in LA. Like I don't know what the expectation is in terms. I'm very passionate about that because it's difficult.
It really is. And I think that's, you know, that has changed so much over the years. Mm-hmm. Even when I had my first internship, it was not paid or for school credit. It was just like you work for the experience. And so that's changed over the past 18 years. And that's something that definitely needs to change because it's still work experience, but you still have to live in if you want to have all the experience and have all the learning skills, you need to be able to, you know, afford to actually do things that you need to live.
Completely agree. Yeah, I just feel like it's unrealistic for a lot of people's situations, you know, if you have to choose between interning or working during your summer because you need money. So I completely agree with that. So yeah, switching to PR. So then you got in. What was the firm's name again?
It was Lizzie Grubman PR.
Lizzie Grubman. Awesome. So you worked there for, I saw on your LinkedIn, a few years.
Yeah, I worked for her for around 5 years. And that just got my feet wet into the PR industry. And with her, she was a powerhouse. She basically worked with a lot of celebrity driven events. So we did, you know, like Diddy's white party and like VMA after parties and the Entourage premiere party and Hampton's wow. like, you know, Hampton's weekends every night, you know, in Star Room in East in Wainscott. So it was so much fun in nightclub PR where we were at Marquee and Bungalow 8 and all the nightclubs every single night because it was part of our job and it was a different time.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you could only do that for so many years before you probably get burnt out of it, right? Like staying up those crazy hours and doing all of that.
Yeah. I mean, it was a different time and era where we would stay up all night, then go to work and do it again. And was with her for 5 years. And obviously at some point you do get burnt out because you can't burn like, you know, can't burn it at both ends at all times. So mm-hmm. then I moved to another PR agency, Burke Communications. And I also moved to LA because we would go back and forth through the PR agency to do, you know, Entourage, like premiere parties and different things. And I just fell in love with LA. And I had this belief that if I lived there for a year, I can see whether or not I loved it. And if I loved it, I would stay. If not, I could always come back to New York. So a friend who owned a PR agency actually said, do you want to open up an LA office for me? And I was like, okay, let's try it. And so I ended up opening up an LA office for the company, and we worked with, you know, Tao in Vegas, and we opened up Jay-Z's 4040 Club in Vegas as well, and then worked with like Philippe Chow and a lot of different restaurants in LA. And it was also fun because it was learning a new landscape, but still being within the restaurant and nightclub scene that you could meet more people.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an advantage of doing it, I guess, in a city that you're familiar with, because like you said, you had to learn this totally new landscape, you know, where people go and what are the trendy spots and how to kind of manage a new city. So that must have been a challenge.
It was, but you just have to have like those friends that you trust, you know, and that's mm-hmm. the thing. And then also just a great job or a good network of people that you can learn about a city and try things in like, don't be afraid to experience something else because it might be something that you want to lean into a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So then I guess like circling back, obviously you're in New York now. So I guess give us like the rest of the timeline here in terms of like then how did you come back around?
Yeah. So I started Krupa Consulting over 10 years ago and it originally started in LA. And so the company is LA and New York based. And so had Krupa Consulting in LA basically up until I was there up until December and I moved back to New York in December.
Oh, wow. So just mm-hmm. recently.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't know that.
Yeah.
So is your offices based? Do you have two offices then or
yeah.
is it? Oh, okay.
We do.
Awesome.
Yep. So we have two offices, but then pretty much for the past, like, it's just a complicated for pretty much for the past, like, 7 years, I've had a shared, like, rented a room for a friend in New York because I would come back and forth so often. So it was also just being like, hey, I'm going to come back. So we had an office pretty much for the past 3 years on both coasts. Otherwise, then I would just come back and forth and do that bi-coastal life.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think gave you kind of that boost to start your own firm in term, like, so you're working for all of these people for all of these years, and then what really gave you like the inner boost? Did you have a conversation with someone, or was it like self-talk that you're like, I can go out and do this? What was the thought process?
It's something that we were talking about earlier, that it was more of, I have one rule in life. If I don't love what I do every day, why am I doing it? Mm-hmm. And I was not happy with the job that I was at, and I just felt like I couldn't just go and just do a job anymore. So I put my notice in and started consulting, hence Crewbook Consulting, just to figure out what I wanted to do. Yeah. And I took on one client, two clients, just to have income to pay my rent. And then from there, those clients referred other clients, and it snowballed into a company. So I never opened the company thinking I was going to have an agency, nor own a business, nor be an entrepreneur. It was a stepping stone to figure out what I wanted to do next. And it was through that learning where it's just like, there's never a good time to start anything. There is not like the perfect things need to be in alignment. It's just what makes you happy. And once you jump, you just have to figure it out, and it will work itself out either for the right way, or you learn from that and you know that you have to pivot to do something else. But it's going to make you happy no matter what.
Yeah, I really like that advice there. Question, I guess, on the phrase consulting, because I think a lot of people use this term for many different applications. And I know that it can be, more technical consulting, or it could be managerial consulting. It could really be a bunch of different things for an organization or for even an individual. So for you, when you use the term consulting, what does that look like?
For us, we're basically a full service PR agency that focus on editorial, influencer outreach, strategy, strategic partnerships, and things along those lines. So we say consulting, it just was a name that I actually came up with initially because I was just a single person. Uh-huh. And throughout the 10 years, we've tried to change the name, but everyone was just like, people know you for Krupa Consulting. Mm-hmm. But it actually now is pivoted because we also just do brand consulting for individuals and not just PR sometimes. And we do everything more within like brand building from a PR and editorial perspective, but now we're just doing consulting and helping brands before they launch too.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. That's definitely some clarity there. So if someone wants to go into like that specific realm of things, you got to listen up, because we're going to get into some details, I guess, on everything. But first, the early days of having your own agency. So you did it alone for a while. You said, you know, the consulting thing. When did you take on your first employee, and what did that process kind of look like?
Yeah, so I think it was, it feels like so long ago.
I don't need an exact day.
In my mind, I'm like, when did I do this? I actually found an intern to work with me pretty much from the start, because I'm a believer that you need support in order for you to do more in your life. Mm-hmm. And you need to have people to help uplift you so that everyone is able to learn and to generate more, you know, positive workflow. So I had an internship who then I hired pretty much more immediately, in the earlier. So I would say within like the first like 3-4 months.
Awesome. And then it grew, 'cause now you have a team on your website of like over 10 employees, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So then from there, the earlier years, it was more small, nimble. Let's like kind of just keep things close knit and be very, you know, particular of who we work with. And now we're just like growing, but I want to make it so that we grow intentionally. Because also from us, it's from Krupa, and the Krupa side, it's like working with brands and people that have a purpose and a passion to change the world through food and wellness. And that is also just making sure that we're working with brands that we 100% believe in, because it's a job, but we also want to love what we do every day. And we want to use our voice as publicists to actually elevate the brands that need to be in the limelight, and their story needs to be told.
That brings me to two questions then. So if a brand wants to work with you, do they approach you generally, or do you do outreach?
We've never really done outreach. So most brands either come to us or come from a referral from friends, other clients, from, you know, editors, from others.
And then I think you kind of already answered this, but do you decline brands if they don't like align with your values? You guys are pretty picky, it seems like, for a good reason.
Yeah, we do. We do. Because we want to just, you know, we also want to know and make sure that we're doing great work. Because like the work that we put out there, we also want to be rewarding for us, you know. And I think that it's also really great, especially from the PR side, is having goals for the clients, but also having personal goals for yourself. Because that's also important, that I want to get this type of press placement. And does this client make me so that I can hit my goal? Or how do I do that? So it's not just always looking at the goals of the clients, but also having your personal goals that you can hit also has to be there.
Yeah. Amazing. Mm-hmm. It seems like it's like really obviously you're doing great things. So it's a very thought out strategy, which makes sense. But I do want to also talk about the grind kind of period of those early days. I feel like a lot of people don't harp on the early stages of their career. You know, were you more scrappy then? Was it something that it was tough? You know, I guess kind of shed some light on what those days looked like. Of course, everything seems to be, you know, piecing together now and it seems to be all well and good. But of course, everything looks different, I think, on the surface than what it looks like beneath it all. So, and especially going out on your own, of course, that's risky from a financial perspective and things like that. So if you could talk about those days.
Yeah. I mean, those were the hardest days because you had absolutely no idea what you were doing. And like, it was just like, I have no clue what I'm doing. I know that I can get press. I know what I'm doing from like my job perspective, but from the business side, no clue. And so I got the best advice from a friend one day that has a very successful other PR agency in New York that I look up to. And I was just like, can you just tell me like, how do you not feel like I don't know what I'm doing? And he was just like, let me just tell you a secret. I don't know what I'm doing. And there's only two ways that you're going to look at it. You're either going to do it and you're going to succeed, or you're going to do it and you're going to learn from it. So it's, I don't believe in mistakes as like a word, because mistake shouldn't exist, because a mistake is actually a learning. It's like a big learning that you can take to build upon to change it for the future. And so I think that's like the biggest thing that I always look at of like, oh, I failed here, or I did that or not. But you're like, it's not a failure. It's like you're actually learning to do something differently moving forward. And then other parts are just making sure that you have a good financial team in place. Like I trusted someone and hired a bookkeeper that just lost me a lot of money that I had to then pay. So it's making references of everyone that you work with. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, asking family members, because now my family is actually helping with my bookkeeping and my financials, because like they have that background, but I was too stubborn to ask anyone for help. And so I think that's the biggest thing, is ask for help. Ask like more than just like your friends, but ask family members, ask people that you look up to. Send a random like DM or LinkedIn to someone and be like, hey, can I like talk with you for 5 minutes, you know, for 10 minutes just to get some insight here. And so especially now, because we have so many different platforms to reach out to connect with people, it's asking for help and not having that sense of internal of, oh, I'm asking for help. I don't know what I'm doing. I look bad if I ask for help. But you need help. And if you have other people helping you, you're going to grow faster.
Completely. My mom always says, you need to take advantage of the people who know more than you do on certain subjects. And it is so true. I think a lot of young people, myself included, for so many years, I remember in college, I thought that I knew everything. I just had this aura about me. I was like, oh, I don't want to ask for help. Like I know, trust me. I know how this business should be run, like whatever it might be. And I definitely, what am I like, what? I don't know anything.
Yeah. But that's like happens throughout your life. I remember being 23, 24, thinking that I knew more than my boss did. You know, because I think you're in it every day and you're like, oh, they don't know anything. But then you take a step back and you're like, oh, I don't know anything.
Yeah, you know, like, and you have to like just change this. And it's like, okay, no, they're the one running the business. How about you just focus on your job?
Yeah. And so I think there's just needs to be more. And that's what we try, is just trying to keep a more like open dialogue so that people know and be transparent with like everything, that it's not only this is the right way, is the high, like this way is the only way that it can go, but there's like different ways that you look at different things to get different results or for the same result, especially within PR.
I genuinely cannot believe that the holiday season is right around the corner. And this year we know that people will be buying more stuff online than ever before. So if you're an e-commerce seller, are you ready to meet the demands of a record-breaking online shopping season? Be ready with ShipStation. When you're selling online, getting a massive amount of orders out quickly can be really tough. How do you keep track of who gets what shipping carrier? That's why the best choice is ShipStation.com. It's the fastest, easiest, and most affordable way to manage and ship your orders. In just a few clicks, you're managing orders, printing out discounted shipping labels, and getting your products out fast. The result is truly happier holidays for you and your customers. ShipStation takes the hassle out of holiday shopping. ShipStation helps online sellers get orders out quickly, save money on shipping costs. It doesn't matter where you're selling. If you're on Amazon, Etsy, your own website, ShipStation basically is like, it's a great interface. It brings everything into one simple place, and you can manage them from any device, even your cell phone. ShipStation works with all of the major carriers, including USPS, FedEx, UPS, even international. You can compare and choose the best shipping solution every time. And they even have big discounts on shipping costs. So now any business can access the same postage discounts that are usually just offered at those large Fortune 500 companies. You'll always know you're getting the best deal. It's no wonder ShipStation is the number one choice of online sellers. You'll ship more in less time with the best rates. I know a lot of you guys are popping off online with your businesses, and I cannot recommend ShipStation enough. Who doesn't want to save money, and who doesn't want to make their business as efficient as possible? That's why you guys love ShipStation. And right now, Gals on the Go listeners can try ShipStation free for 60 days when you use the offer code Gals on the Go. Make sure your business is ready to meet the demands of a massive online shopping season. Get started today at ShipStation.com today. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Gals on the Go. That's ShipStation.com. Then enter that offer code Gals on the Go. ShipStation.com. Make ship happen. So you talked about the financial piece there with, I guess, like a mistake you made in trusting someone, which I think a lot of people could relate to that sentiment. Yep. Of trusting someone, if it was financial or just from anything, you know, I think trust can be something that's difficult, I guess, in like a business sense. But other career mistakes, does anything else kind of pop out of to you that maybe you could give some advice to some younger people of, you know, don't do this, do this?
It's not so many like just like mistakes, but I think that it's like, you know, don't always compare yourself to others. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't need to have a shiny office. You don't need to have, you know, the best of the best type of things. You need to like keep things scrappy at first. Mm-hmm. So that you can build your bottom line so that you can have the income to do more. And especially I think now with the pandemic, it's like you realize like office space doesn't need to be huge and grandiose. You don't know, have to have all of the little things that make other people think that you're big. You just need to know that in the way that your team works.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's yeah, like completely. Less materialistic things, more on the inner like gratification that things get, and knowing that the work that you do, that you're able to build, and obviously then go on vacations yourself. And like, it's more purposeful for the entire team too.
Completely. I see what you're saying. Like, if someone, just because someone has a beautiful office and it's well decorated and stuff, doesn't mean that their work is exceptionally better than yours or whatever it is. So that's a great tip there.
Yeah. And it's just more of that. It's just like learning your skill set and reading. You know, knowing what your competitors are doing, but don't compare yourself to your competitors. If that makes sense, you know? Mm-hmm.
What type of media do you consume, just out of curiosity? Like, do you read a newspaper every day, or like you check LinkedIn every morning? Like, what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I look at the New York Times. I also just kind of like search on, you know, LinkedIn. I also like, just because of like the people that you find, like the algorithm like finds up the great stories from a CPG perspective. I like looking at Vogue, but I also love just kind of looking, and I'm like a weirdo that I like pop culture, and I look at Just Jared all the time just to see what's happening within the landscape of what people are talking about.
Uh-huh.
And then I also listen to this company or this podcast, Food Tank, that talks about food agriculture. Mm. Civil Eats is another one from like a food perspective. Well and Good, Pure Wow. It's like I have a lot of different newsletters that come in. New York Times, like Smarter Living, is I think one of like the best sections to read right now, especially during COVID, of just like mm-hmm. how to feel safe and the well-being of oneself, mind, body, and soul.
That's great. I think it's, I love asking people the question of like what they consume. I haven't heard anybody that listens to like food podcasts, so that's really interesting. I have a friend mm-hmm. that would be really interested in that. I do want to ask you about PR. Like I said, I want to kind of focus a bit of the conversation on what would you say to girls or guys, whoever's listening to this, people who are aspiring to work in PR, maybe they're in college still or recent grads. What advice would you give to someone in that boat?
Yeah, I think get an internship. Internships are the key to understanding and knowing if you love it, like the career, you know, but then it's also reading publications, but it's not just reading the story. And this is what I tell people all the time. It's reading the writer. And like the biggest thing from like a publicist perspective is you know who the writers are and what they write, not really all of the story. I mean, you read the story, but it's understanding who the writers are, because then the biggest thing is pitching and building relationships. So it's how do you build those relationships? You want to know what they write. Like, what column do they write? Where do they go next? I can read something and I actually know if I look at, say, a People magazine or Us Weekly, I'm going to know what PR team actually has that client and who they pitched. And wow. I can look at that from the backside. Or I look at a client and before we even pitch, I'm like, okay, this client is going to be great for, you know, Dina at Bloomberg. This client is going to be really great with Chloe at Forbes because of knowing what their beat is and what they're writing. And that's something that people should learn from the beginning of just like know who writers are, not just like the outlets.
I think that's something that's like, I don't want to be like, it's a lost art, but I have friends who work in PR and I don't think they've ever mentioned that. So that's a really interesting tidbit of info there. And I guess specifically, what do you look for in people who you hire? Because you're in that position now where you're hiring people who are, I'm sure, similar age of me, you know, 22, 23, like just out of college. What are like the top, let's say, like three things you look for?
Yeah, it's like just the understanding and wanting to be in PR and knowing like the written skill of it, and knowing who to pitch and what to pitch and just what your favorite topics are. You know, one of the biggest learnings that I think that, you know, just to share is like sometimes we have interviews and everyone comes in and there's some people come in, they're like, I love social media. And you're like, social media is not PR.
And you have to like explain that to them basically, but it's something that they should already know. Is that kind of like,
yeah, because PR is like the art of like editorial pitching and like crafting a story and pitching editors based on like you're pitching Vogue, you're pitching Purewow, you're pitching Well and Good, you're pitching New York Times later on. And it's not so much of following influencers and tapping into that section. So it's just an understand of like knowing the difference between influencer outreach versus traditional PR.
On your team, do you divide up the roles in terms of, you know, are some people more social media influencer heavy or and some are more on the editorial side, or everyone kind of does a little bit of everything?
Everyone kind of does a little bit of everything, because I think that's the great thing, because, you know, social platforms are such a big part of what we do. It's not all we do or a majority of what we do. But it's also interesting because we have such a diverse group of women of who they follow, what they consume, so that you're able to look at a client and be like, okay, if we want to reach men and women between, say, 20 or 18 to 45, who should we target? Because if you have one person that's doing it, they know who their sector is rather than having everyone's input. Because I think that's like the most fascinating thing, because we could probably talk about four or five different people and I'm like, I've never heard of them. And if I say it, you'll probably be like, I've never heard of them either. So it's like, how do you get that diversity of the people that we follow and that we like and the people that we can recommend to our clients is through having everyone kind of work on them.
That's great. I think it sounds like a great strategy. Since you talked about interns, do you take interns?
We love interns.
Oh, you do?
Yes. And I love interns, and I always look at interns of where they are within their schooling. Because like if they're incredible interns, like I want to hire people from our internships to have them grow within the company. Because for me, it's building a team that you're able to grow and have. If you start as an intern and you end up as a VP, that's great. Julia within our company, her first job was at Krupa. And now she's 8 years with our company actually on Saturday. Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. It sounds like it's definitely with companies like yours, it just makes sense to kind of stay and grow within because of the investment of time and knowledge and all that stuff. It seems like it's like a real team environment, if you will.
It is, but you also want to make sure that you're able to listen and talk to, you know, your employees too, of like, what makes you happy? What area do you want to focus on? Is this making you happy, or what are your goals too? So that there is growth, but there is forward growth of not what I want, but what the individual wants too.
that shift kind of from an employee mindset to like a leader mindset, was that tough for you to adapt to? Or was it something that kind of took a minute to realize like, oh my gosh, wait, I'm, you know, the leader now, like I'm the one to kind of put it all together? Or was that something that came natural to you?
I think it's like it's a two prong where I've always ran the company of how I would feel if I were an employee, mm-hmm. because I've had different, you know, bosses that were great leaders where I learned what not to do, but also mm-hmm. what to do. So I've always looked at things of like, how would I feel if I were in their shoes? But then when the company hit a point where it was like 5, 6, 7 employees, and you kind of have to shift a little bit. And that was more difficult because you didn't have your, you couldn't have your hands so much in everything. And you also have different personalities. So it always takes me a moment to figure out how to interact with someone so that I'm not interacting with every person the same, because everyone's mm-hmm. personality is different. And it takes a second to learn, okay, are they quiet? Are they not? Are they more outspoken? You know, how do I give feedback? And that's something that we do ask of like, you know, how do you like feedback? What do you look for? How can I make my feedback to you better and more impactful? Because how do you feel? And it's going into that type of work with compassion too.
Yeah. So now everybody is working remotely. So how has your team adapted to that? Are you guys just doing a lot of video calls? Like, how are you syncing up?
I think that we're thriving actually. Like, I feel that it was the first couple months were hard because I think everyone was just a little bit like unsure of where the landscape of the world mm-hmm. was. But now it's actually really great because I think that we're connecting more because we're having more face-to-face time than before. And we're working more intentionally because of the fact that we only have so much time to connect with each other face-to-face. And we're utilizing Slack and like just I think we're working better. And, you know, it's like the thing that I always say, and I think sometimes I probably over speak it, where it's like work smarter, not harder. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to do, especially now that we're all digital and virtual. But I think this is going to be the landscape of what business will be like in the future. It's you can work from other places. You don't need to be in an office space. You can work from your family's home. You can work from your boyfriend's home. You can work anywhere and still get the work done and do it very well.
Yeah. So your tips for working remotely, do you structure your day in a certain way where it's like, do you sit at a desk or do you, I think a lot of people are struggling with, I know like what you're saying, you know, your team is adapting pretty well. Do you guys have a set work day? Is it like 8 to 5, 9 to 5? Does everyone go on at the same time or is it kind of like work as you please?
We have a structure. So we have, okay. you know, 9 to 6. And then from there we have different like, you know, we have like a month or a weekly like team Zoom mm-hmm. every Tuesday or every Monday. Yeah. Every Monday. We changed it this week. So it was Tuesday, every Monday. And then we connect with everyone from the team perspective. They connect, like have like a team breakout, multiple times during the week, you know? So everyone is structured differently based on who their team is and the team lead, mm-hmm. but there is definitely structure, but then there's also a lot of flexibility to get things done and everyone's on Slack.
Oh,
Slack is our biggest friend.
Yeah. I guess it depends. Like that's like a messaging system if you guys don't know, but a lot of people use it. I'd used it in my old job too. It was definitely a popular mm-hmm. one. And just so much easier to communicate with that via instead of email. Sometimes email seems like such a hassle and you could just quickly IM someone something over, which is really nice.
Yeah.
Hi guys, I'm Max Dubrow, and I'm so excited to be hosting a new podcast called I'll Give It To You Straight-ish. Some things you can look forward to hearing on the show are conversations about coming out as bi, the LGBTQ+ community, and growing up in the age of technology. You'll also get to know my whole life story and all the drama, don't worry, including growing up on The Real Housewives and having to deal with severe social anxiety on the daily. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podcast One, or anywhere else you listen to your podcasts.
I also want to talk about your other company then, because like you mentioned, I guess a little while ago, you own another brand or company, if you will, the Good Smart. So tell us a little bit about that starting process and what it is.
Yeah. So I also own the Good Smart, which is a better for you, socially conscious neighborhood convenience store. Mm-hmm. So think of it as 7-Eleven and Whole Foods had a baby. Everything in the store is non-GMO, no artificial flavors, preservatives. Typically, it's just better for you upgrades to things that you love in a traditional 7-Eleven. So say instead of Starburst, you have Tory and Howard. Instead of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, you have Eat Chic. Instead of Funyuns, you have Pepitos. And we have organic kombucha slushies. And it's just cool. Like really fun and a way to connect with the community and build people around healthier food. Because for me, healthier food needs to be more accessible to more people.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's nice that it's like in a snack way. I know I'm a big snacker too. So that
snacks are fun and great. And that's food. If you think about any emotion that you have, is food involved? Yes. You're happy, you eat or you drink. If you're sad, you eat or you drink. If you lost someone, you eat or drink. If you get married, it's around like a dinner table. So it's just like every moment in life is food. And yeah, that is through snacks and through what you can bring to someone to make them happy.
You're so right. So the location in New York, did I say you have two locations or is it just the one?
We had two. So we had one in Silver Lake, but we closed that one at the end of last year, just of also learnings that we can talk about at another time of learning to a new business that I didn't know anything. And I just opened up a store because it's something that I wanted to do. But the past 2 years basically have been a MBA in business and retail, that was through two stores, and through just the experience of doing it. But now we have one store and it's in Nolita in Soho.
You guys have to go check. I have to go. I walk past that area like all the time, just where I live, if I'm walking like over to Soho or like the West Village area. So I feel like I definitely need to pop in. And that's cool that the concept just came about organically. I feel like the best business ideas are those where it's like, hey, you know, I feel like there's a gap in the market here and this could be something. And it seems like the learnings of that have been really different, I guess, of your consulting PR business.
Yeah, it's great because it's also they complement each other really well because mm-hmm. we work with a lot of incredible snack brands at the PR agency that fill our store. So we're able to talk to consumers on the ground to be like, what are your thoughts of that? How do you like that? What's the difference between this brand and this brand? So you actually get market research and field research based on the brands and products. So that's like what's like the most exciting part of it. And no one thinks anything of like why you're asking me that. You're like, because I'm the store owner. Like, do you like it?
That's great. Brilliant. I kind of want to close on, since you are such like a multifaceted person, and yes, your brands totally complement each other, but it just seems like you do a lot of things. And I get stressed out just thinking about your schedule. So how do you do it all? The time management tips, advice that you have to give?
I have a very structured life. I like structure, you know, so okay. I wake up, I work out, because I have to work out every day because it helps mm-hmm. me get creative and it helps me move my body. So I'm not mm-hmm. thinking about everything else. And then it's just having some structure throughout the day, but also that structure is putting personal time in as a meeting for yourself. So it's at 4 o'clock every day. I go for a walk. I get my iced tea or my coffee or whatever that is and walk around. And that's my meeting for four. Because you need to have those moments within your day to make you your best self. Because if you're stacking meeting after meeting after meeting and you don't have time for yourself to connect, to meditate, to get a massage, to go run an errand, you're never going to have that. You're never going to feel satisfied and you're going to constantly feel like a hamster on a wheel. So mm-hmm. keep everything structured, but also be flexible because not everything is always structured, if that makes sense. I'm a structured person. I just love being able to know what I have to do every day, but sometimes it's a little bit movable. Mm-hmm. But health and wellness are just integrated within my day, every single part. Like I have aromatherapy with me at all times around me that I put on myself. I, you know, have just always random things like crystals in my pockets and crystals next to me.
Oh, I
and
love that.
Just things like that. Yeah. So it's like really kind of fun.
You said, well, obviously you're a big snacker because of Good Smart, and which makes sense. Mm-hmm. What else do you cook for yourself often, or what do the meals look like? I'm just curious because I feel like you're a wellness person, so I'm curious what you're eating.
No, it's not good.
It looks like
it's not good. I snack a lot during the day, okay. And normally in the evening I will have more of like steamed vegetables with like eggs. I don't eat meat at home just because it weirds me out. And then I snack a lot. And so I have steamed vegetables and like eggs and toast. But I'm also a sweet tooth, so I'll always have ice cream and a brownie or a cookie or something before I go to bed.
That's the type of diet I'm about. I like to hear this.
Yeah. And I take a lot of vitamins in the morning. And, you know, a lot of greens, a protein shake or smoothie in the middle of the day. That I think it just keeps me going. That's something new that I've been doing for the past couple months, and I really like it.
That sounds great. Well, yeah, I think that that's really everything that I had for you. But if you want to leave a little note for our listeners where they can find you if they want to learn more about you and your companies.
Yeah, so I'm going to leave one thing real quick, too, is with the goods, we have the goods surprise snack boxes. So you can get the goods basically nationally. So everything is on our website, thegoodsmart.com. Mm-hmm. And it's basically you can get female-founded snack box. You can get a black-founded snack box. You can get anything goes, vegan, paleo, low sugar. And we send it across the U.S. And it ranges from $20 to $60. And so it's a great gift for yourself or to send to other people. I say it's like the better version of like edible arrangements.
Definitely. So I'll leave that linked in the show notes. You guys will have to check that out.
Yeah.
I was going to ask if you had a web store, because I know not everybody, of course, is located in NYC or local.
Yep. Yep. And then otherwise, it's, you know, if you have any questions, like DM me on Instagram, Rach Krupa or The Goods Mart or Krupa Consulting. I see them all.
That's so great.
And any questions, I mean, that's like, if there are questions about PR or opening up retail space, like that's what I love answering questions, because I think that we need really thoughtful entrepreneurs to take this next generation of where we're going to be, because it's what's coming up. There's going to be so much incredible change with our society, and it's going to start from the younger generation. And that's what's so like hopeful and optimistic of looking at that.
Well, thank you. That was an inspiring message to leave off on. And thank you for being so approachable. That means a lot. So definitely go check her out, you guys. And thank you again, Rachel, for being here.
Thank you so much.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.